Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to the 37th edition of the Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast. I'm joined this week by a man that claimed he was the main man on an under-11 team that won a Cumann a month ago, the same team that helped Paddy Maher. It's Mr. Thurles himself, Sean Smith. And all the way from Tumi Vera. No, it's not a one-bridge land. We couldn't afford him in the Tracy. You're very welcome.
How are you doing, mate?
All right. First off, we'll have a look back on the last couple of pods there, lads. I suppose, whatever, 10 days ago, we had the fixtures master plan. Looking good for starting up in a couple of weeks' time.
Oh, definitely, for sure. Yeah, there's two lads are back training now, whatever. 200 yards away from where I am now recording this. So that's a good sign. And we haven't heard of any other changes since and the inter-county scene, but it'd be good kind of get maybe the government are announced something this week in relation to the plans down the route, aren't they? So hopefully that will kind of give the club an idea of when the club does be back on the field, which is what 99% of us want anyway. So
yeah, it's looking by what we're hearing that maybe the second or third week of May for clubs, which would be great. Like, it'd be grand if we knew that straight away, but obviously we have to wait another while, but it's all looking good anyway. At least we'll be back watching some hurling anyway.
Absolutely. And we also had the interview with Damien Young, which seems to have gone down a treat all around the place, not only just in Tipperary. It's quite a long one, but quite a good one, I thought. It was. He's an interesting character, isn't he?
Oh, he's very good. Every question was answered with down to the minute detail, and some things you'd never think of. You know, he just has a very big knowledge of the game and statistics in general in every sport. And I'd listen to that all day long now. It was worth every minute of it. Went very quickly. It's always a good sign.
Yeah, Sean, yeah. You enjoyed that one?
Yeah, I'd follow echoing his words there as well, and just kind of say it well to our listeners, if you've kind of friends and family maybe that aren't into hurling but into the fitness side of it, definitely something to have listened to, because it's about all sport in general. Then as a whole, it's not just folks in hurling and football. So it is one thing to pass around. And at the moment, the feedback we're getting is showing that lads listen to it, mightn't be into hurling, but you're listening from their own point of view, where he's one of the best in the game at the moment, to be honest.
Yeah, I know. He's top class, and everything he does it with perfection. And that's why he's involved with the senior hurlers. So moving on to the draws, lads, were made today, hurling and football. If we look at the hurling draw today, so the Munster Senior Hurling Championship, the quarter-final, Clare versus Waterford, and the semi-final pairings are Limerick versus Cork, and Tip are playing the winners of Clare and Waterford. I suppose going to the Tip game first, is that a draw we wanted? Semi-final first, which means we avoid the quarter-final, but I suppose that's like everything. You lose that match and you say you should have had a quarter final. You win it and it was great. Inda, what do you make of it?
It's unusual to see us straight into the semi-final, but to be honest with you, a Munster draw, there was never really a very handy draw there. Maybe, obviously, look, if you had to get Clare in a semi-final, that would have been top of the list. But I would have preferred to get Limerick, to be honest. Get them the first day, size them up, get a crack at them early. I wouldn't like them to get ahead of steam and then play them, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Although, like, we maybe a couple of matches more, because we were looking for the five league matches when we didn't know what the format was going to be. So maybe another couple of matches, if we could get the wins under the belt and bed in lads into positions and get them playing well, maybe that'll benefit us more. But it's hard to know, like.
Yeah. Sean, it's probably hard to look past Watford in that quarterfinal. Clare seemed to be up to nothing last year, over the last couple of years, and obviously with all the turmoil that's going on down there. But a Waterford semi-final for Tip would whet the appetite. A lot of Tipperary men on the Waterford side with Cahill managing. It could be a feisty one.
Yeah, exactly. And you'd fancy Waterford come through there. Like, Clare haven't shown that in recently, but it's in Waterford on the up. But it's one thing Tip kind of would like to have a go at that and kind of put it into Cal, but kind of see where they're at in terms of where we're at, because Waterford last year were one team that I thought improved usually, but that Cal factor of the players, whatever it was great. And is that home and away, or what way is the Munster, what way is that draw?
No, the Hurling is a neutral venue. So, I mean, you'd imagine we'd be in Cork if we're playing Waterford, and Limerick if we're playing Clare.
Well, we won't be down there, but for the players will be.
Well, yeah.
It's hard to know what sort of team Waterford are going to be this year, though. Like, they historically never put years back to back, really. And they're still new to Liam Cahill. I don't know. They'll obviously still be fit and they'll still be organised, you know, Liam Cahill teams. But it's great to have hurling in the summer. It's going to suit.
Yeah.
Us, you know.
Just when you said about organisation, I mean, obviously Cahill, he had the Waterford players only in fits and starts last year. But I mean, this year he's going to have the, I suppose, the same as everyone else, but five league games. I think they'll be very, very organised and hard to beat, because that's a Cahill team, isn't it? You know, they're hard to beat and they never give up.
Yeah, well, last year,
like, in the league, they played very well in the league. You'd nearly forget about it. There was such a gap between league and championship. So they were going well, like, so he's very good at getting lads organised and getting them into a groove, isn't he?
Yeah.
The one thing of Waterford is last year they had a kind of element of surprise. We know what to expect from him, and improved every game. This year, we know a bit more about him from last year. Could benefit our teams.
But and they have a few lads coming back as well, don't they? Parkman, he'll be back. And the
Ty de Borca should be back. Sure.
Yeah. The other Shane Bennett as well will be back. So
they're household names, like, in order.
Yeah.
And the other semi-final then pits Limerick, the All-Ireland champions, against Cork. Probably, it looks like a match destined for Turles. It's hard to see past Limerick in that one as well, I presume.
It depends again on what Cork can produce, but sure, not exactly producing loads lately. I'm sure we can't really talk ourselves with the kind of where last time we went down as well, but it's hard to see past Limerick there.
Yeah. Although Cork seemed to have a kind of a number on Limerick, and when they played him in 19 in the first round, they gave him they absolutely blitzed them there. They seem to, the way the hurl seems to suit them against Limerick. But maybe that's optimistic now. Maybe Limerick have gone on another gear since then, and Cork aren't really going anywhere fast either. So yeah, you'd probably imagine a Limerick win there.
Yeah, in a championship that is going to start in the 20th of June and finish the 27th of August. You're talking about 9, 10 weeks at the most. Are you better off going through the front door and playing four games for Tip? Would that be the best option as to winning in All Ireland, or would the back door be the way to go?
I think it's the best option.
Sorry,
Linda? The best option goes straight through,
isn't it? Yeah, I'd be the same. Winning, your mentality changes.
Yeah, I agree. So the football draw was also made this morning. Fresh off winning Munster last year, the footballers got a semi-final draw where they have to play the winners of Kerry and Clare. Probably wanted to avoid a quarterfinal, but certainly didn't want Kerry in the semi-final, I'd imagine.
No, look, I mean, last year was absolutely fantastic. Worked out very well with Cork beating Kerry in the semi-final in the wind and rain down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. The expectations will still be where they were before they won the Munster last year. If you can give them a good game, we're not going to beat Kerry, I'd say. Look, we're hurling men, but we were following the football fairly closely, but Kerry are a different animal. Like, when we've played them in a few Munster finals the last 5, 6, 7 years. Give them a good enough match, but they're gone to a different level now with the minor teams that have come through. So, it's going to be an early exit, I think.
There's no back door in football, is there?
No, it's straight knockout.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Tough going, like, Kerry, like.
Yeah, no, it's a home draw against Kerry. Will that count for anything? I suppose a home draw, you're probably looking at Thurles. And as the footballers have been wanting to play in Thurles all the time, but in a game like that, are we better off bringing them to Clonmel or Nina even?
I'd bring them down to where fucking Tenhillary somewhere. You're right. Their stadium isn't going to benefit us. Good if you could get a couple thousand fans in again, like local people might get behind if it was a crowd, but not going to be crowds at it. So let's try and get a revenge you can, to be honest.
Yeah, like, I mean, this team obviously will want to be pushing on. This is what, last year was their second semi-final in 5 years, but and they'll want to be taking a big scalp in a Division One team in the Championship. Kerry will probably be hurting, I presume, from last year. It's a tough ask for them, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a pity there's no back door. Like, at least you'd have that to fall back on. You'd give them a good rattle.
That's the thing, yeah. He could go out instead of being a bit cautious in the game. He could go out and give it all, lose by 2 points instead of being cautious and still losing by a couple points. No, that's the one thing. The back door is a killer now.
Yeah, like, but I suppose the nature of that tip team is that they're not cautious. Well, they certainly haven't been now, whether that tact changes this year. But I don't see it with the players we have. But I mean, we speak about the tip, the hurling team needing kind of a player maybe on every line, or certainly every second line going up along. The footballers need another option as a forward, scoring forward. I mean, you are wholly reliant on Conor Sweeney to get the majority of your scores. They probably need a lot more from Quinlivan maybe in the half forward line to on the scoring side of things.
Yeah, he was a bit quiet. I remember, obviously, people are going to remember the Munster final. He played well enough. He was very quiet in the matches before that. He need to be contributing heavily. Look, like, if they play well, they're well capable of giving Kerry a game. But you'd just be afraid of the bounce back. If Kerry are going to be very eager to make up for last year against Cork, it's been a long wait for them trying to get back to action now. So a good showing there now, and maybe hopefully build for the following year. As I said, awful pity there's no qualifiers to build on, maybe.
Yeah.
That's just to look at it the way it is now, sure.
Yeah, that's it. So that's the draws done for. So we know where we're going, and we have league coming up now, starting in 3 weeks' time. As Sean said, the boys are back training tonight, the hurling and football, I presume. So it's great to have inter-county action and something to be looking at and looking forward to over the next couple of weeks. There is, just to recap on the last podcast as well, there is a county board meeting. I think the clubs were looking for a county board meeting. So there's one due on the 28th of April, which I think is good news for the clubs. Certainly a lot of the North clubs and South clubs had been looking for that meeting. So now we will move on to the next section, and we are going to find out whether it is true that Sean Smith is a better hurler than Paddy Maher at under 11. He's old school teacher Fergal O'Reilly from Melbourne joins us on the podcast. An expat from Arville Rovers, Tipperary Town, in the first of our World Series. Fergal, you're very welcome to the Premier View podcast.
Thanks very much, Michael.
So, Fergal, as I said in the introduction, you're out in Melbourne. How did you end up in Melbourne? What took you on your travels?
Let me put it this way, Michael, probably the love of a good woman. That's the reason why. My wife is Australian.
The downfall of us all.
Yeah, it probably is. I started traveling way many, many years ago and met my wife, and she's obviously Australian. She's got dual citizenship, Scottish originally. So she wanted to move back out to be close to her father and her siblings. And I said, yeah, no problem. Let's go. You know, mm-hmm. So that's the reason why I'm here, Michael.
Yeah. And how long are you in Melbourne now?
On and off, I reckon I'm here about 11 years, maybe 12 years, on and off at different times, trying to get visas sorted and the whole lot. So, yeah, definitely a decade anyway, Michael.
Yeah. So, obviously, there's probably a pretty good Irish community in Melbourne, but did you ingrate yourself into the GAA? Was that something you went looking for? How did you get involved in GAA in Melbourne?
I suppose, Michael, growing up in Ireland, my dad is a massive GAA follower and a GAA supporter. GAA was always at my front door, going over to Avril Rovers as a juvenile, participating in the monasteries, CBS and in the Abbey in the hurling and Gaelic football, and then becoming a teacher myself and teaching in Thurles for 16 years. The GAA was always inbred, you know, involved in my life, and it was bred into me that I always go to a match on the weekend. And then when I had three kids of my own. I wanted to keep the connection with Ireland, the importance of our heritage and our culture. And I don't want my three children to lose out on what I was brought up with. Now, I know there's obviously other sports over here that they get involved in, but I went looking to actively get involved with a club over here. And I became involved with Pádraig Pearse's back in 2013 when I moved back over for good. And the reason why I moved back, or the reason why I joined Pádraig Pearse's was they were the closest to me. Because as you can gather, Melbourne is a big, big city with a big population. And where I live, I just tried to geographically see which was the closest one. And they happened to be 20 minutes down the road. But Michael, most people, Irish people, when they come over here, backpackers, they live in St. Kilda. So they changed the training location to St. Kilda. And it then takes me an hour and 10 minutes to get to training, from 20 minutes to an hour and 10 minutes. And people say, you're crazy, when I tell them at home. And I said, yeah, but it's the GA. I just do it for the love of the GA. So it takes me an hour and 10 minutes to get there and train the boys. And then obviously I wanted to get involved with the kids. And then an opportunity arose in 2016.
Yeah.
And I got involved with it.
Yeah, so you're talking about young Melbourne, or as we know it on Facebook, it's Kids Melbourne, yes. GA. That seems like a very interesting thing to be involved in, I suppose, from a... You hear of, as you said, of people that go on their travels and they get involved in the GA, but to have a juvenile club out there, it must take a lot of setting up, and who's involved in that?
Initially, Michael, it was an idea that was born out of a Dublin guy, Keith Kavanagh, and a Kilkenny man, Michael Comerford. And being over here and having young kids, as we all do, the Irish community, we try and do things to promote, as I said, our Irish heritage and our culture. And they set up Kids GA Melbourne back in 2016. And it was kind of like an ad hoc basis. And people started to come. And we had kids from 3 years of age and 2 years of age up as far as 16 years of age. And they saw that the potential was there, but it had to be organized properly and, you know, form a committee and the whole lot so that everything would be okay. And then other people became involved. Carol Walsh, who is now the chairperson of our club, Young Melbourne GA, his dad was highly involved. God rest his soul, he passed away last year. He was highly involved in the GA and Croke Park level administration level, was involved with Croke Park being opened up to all the games. And Carol himself played football for Clare in 1992. I don't know if you remember the famous Munster final. He was the sub goalkeeper on that squad. So he had his background there as well. And other Irish people came involved. You got the Troys from Dublin and Tipperary, Catherine and Kevin. You had a lady from out the road in Kilshan, down the road from Tiptown, called Jean Crow, of the famous Crows from Kilshan. There's so many of them there. Jean won't even mind me saying it. And you had fellas from Tyrone, you had the Coors, Barry Coore and Karen, his wife, and you had Brendan McAleer. You then have Cork, former Cork hurler, Shawnee O'Leary. He's from Watergrass Hill. He has young kids. So everyone came together, pulled together. Then Keith Kavanagh and his wife, Anne. I'm probably going to forget people now because there's so many people on our committee to try and keep it going, all with the same goal. To do something for not just for Irish kids that are involved. There's a guy there from Tipperary Town called Michael Tobin and his wife Mary Ann. They have they're involved. Mary Ann's on the committee as well. And they wanted to keep that Irish connection and to open it up to other communities around Melbourne. So we have kids from the age, as I said, of 2 up to 16, but they're not only Irish, they're Vietnamese. We've got a young Vietnamese boy. We have a few Australian born and bred, and nothing to do at all with Irish connections. They just saw this advertising as they were going to give it a go and they really enjoyed it. Came down because it's a fun, loving, non-competitive environment is what we're trying to create. Mm-hmm. And Young Melbourne, it was originally Kids GA Melbourne Incorporated. And then we saw a vision through Carol and Keith and all of the committee that we want to set a pathway for those kids that lose the interest around 15 and 16 years of age to go and play for a Young Melbourne team rather than playing for another team. That there are other clubs out here. There are 7 other clubs. Why not play for Young Melbourne? So that's why we rebranded ourselves to Young Melbourne, to give that pathway that they'll represent us as a club at a senior level in years to come. That's hopefully, fingers crossed, we keep the numbers coming down, and they're healthy at the moment, Michael, but it's a struggle at times trying to keep the interest there, because we got to travel from all different locations and find a central location to keep it in. But we do a lot of, you mentioned it there, we do a lot of work on Facebook and Instagram. We've got Emma, she's from Dublin, and she does a lot of work there on Instagram for us. And then we've got Seamus Walsh, who does a lot of work for it as well. And there's loads of people involved, Michael, that all have Irish connections. Melanie Walker is our PRO, and she is actually got Irish connections to her family history going back. So I think I've left no one out of the committee there. They'll probably kill me if I have, but I apologize if I have. But that was the reason why, Michael, and it was just to give the opportunity to our own children. This is what we grew up with. We're trying to give that flavor, that taste to the children of our own children, and to children of other backgrounds that just want to come down because their friends said, this is really cool. This is good. Come down. And we had a competition there recently, and it was actually won by an All-Australian team that beat us. They were just an AFL club, and they beat our young Melbourne team in the final. So it was enjoyable, but as you know yourself, the more you get out there, the more the word is spread, the more people become involved in. And our season is split. It goes from October to March because the AFL footy season starts in April. So we don't like to cross over because we have lots of kids that play AFL footy. My son plays it and he likes it. So he goes from April to September doing AFL, and then October to March, my son and my two sons and my daughter, they do the Gaelic football and hurling. So that's the reason, Michael, why we had young Melbourne, and we're going well, and hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll keep going in the future.
Yeah, and so just speaking of the future, what is the long-term goal of young Melbourne? You mentioned having an adult club. Do you not have an adult side of the club at the moment? And is that
what? No, not at the moment. No, most of our kids are of the age group of 16 and 17. We don't have a young Melbourne adult club, but it will be set up. Our goal next year, because there's two events, there's the Gary Owen Nines, Gary Owen are a club, and my own club, the Padraig Pearce's Sevens. The intention is to bring a few of us like me out of retirement to play a bit of football in the Gary Owen Nines and the Pearce's Sevens as a representative team, play with Keith Kavanagh's son, Robbie, Barry Corr's son, Charlie, Carol Walsh's son, Matthew, Roisin Tobin, which is Mary Ann and Michael Tobin's daughter, Sian Walsh, Barry Walsh from up the north, he's another man on our committee, to get us all playing, just to give the outlet there to those kids at that stage. But that's the goal for next year. But we also have goals that we're going to have a type of a faile down under, similar to the faile at home, that kids at under 14 level would experience that, and we will play games hopefully with Geelong. Geelong have a team. Geelong Gales is what they're called, and we're Adelaide have a team. There's a club down in Adelaide. You've got Perth, you've got Western Australia, and there's also Kids GA Victoria, another club here in Victoria as well. So bring all those clubs together, you have an opportunity to have a faile. So that's what we're hoping.
Sounds brilliant. So you mentioned obviously that's a new club. What are the main difficulties in running a GA club, we'll say, in Australia? Would say distances traveled, getting pitches, I suppose, would be something that might be hard to come by.
I can only speak for the Pearces that I'm involved with, and also with Young Melbourne that I'm involved with. Young Melbourne, first of all, Brendan McAleer is a school teacher like myself, and he has a perfect secure grounds and has permission from his school principal that we can train there. And it's safe, it's secure. That's all the parents want. Their child is know that they're in a safe location for 2 hours. So we use that school ground. And then the Pearces have had connection with a local AFL club called Powerhouse. And we train there and I'm sure you've heard of Powerhouse from your Cap White connections. Yeah. And we train there on a Tuesday night and on a Thursday night. And that connection was born out of just going up and asking and saying, what's the opportunity of, we're looking for somewhere to train. Most of our players are based around St. Kilda. Is there an opportunity that we could forge a relationship here? And that's how that came about. So we train out of Powerhouse, our ladies' side and our gents' side. And then we play up in RMIT at the weekend. So it is difficult trying to get a location. You've no real permanent location, but, but we have forged good relationships. And if you have a good relationship and keep it going, you'll be welcome back every year upon year. So
yeah. And just I suppose when you said permanent location, obviously you look at New York and there's Gaelic Park and Rye Slip in London. Is that a long-term goal that there would be a home for Melbourne GA in Melbourne, a total GA facility, I suppose?
Fingers crossed, Michael. Yeah, fingers crossed. You know, it's just, you know, they're long-term goals. You put them down and you try and achieve them. Yeah, so there would be one. Yeah, Gaelic Park, hopefully.
Yeah. So would say, do you get much assistance now from I suppose home, from Crow Park? Would they be involved in Melbourne, in young Melbourne GA? I suppose it's one you probably have a good knowledge of.
Yeah, you'd apply to Crow Park for funding for a grant. You know, the Irish Diaspora are available. You're allowed to apply for a funding grant, and you lay out certain ideas that you have and goals that you're trying to achieve, and they assess it, and you know, they like to look after the people abroad and to see that this is developing Irish heritage and Irish culture abroad and spreading our wings far and wide to say that this is us, this is what we do, and this is promoting GA on an international front. So yes, there would be funding available from Crow Park. You can get tickets to All Ireland finals if you know in advance that your team's going to qualify. You know, but you know, you can apply for tickets, but that's a bit of a pot luck because you want to be trying to get over to Ireland and the whole lot. Unless you get Michael McCarthy to hand you a few tickets or something, you'll be all right. You know,
those days are gone. Those days are gone.
I think I handed you a few, Michael, on my day as well.
Maybe.
But no, so, yes, we do apply for grants, and we have been a successful. Catherine, our treasurer, has been successful on a number of occasions of getting it for Young Melbourne. So, yeah. But sponsorship, you look for sponsorship out here as well from the local businesses that have an Irish connection, and there would be a few of them, like Organic Choice. They would support the Irish Australian Chamber of Connors. They would support in some way the pub game. We get a few sponsors from pubs like Jimmy O'Neill's or the Quiet Men in Flemington sponsors Portage Pierce's. Then you have other companies like lagging companies, a big lagging company there that are willing to help out in different ways, because once again they have that Irish connection, they feel that touch of home to keep it home. They know that their child someday, if touch wood that they have children, will make an appearance down as training, and you know, you're putting back into the community as well. So
yeah. So from your playing days with Padraig Pearson's, what are the championships like in Melbourne? How are they structured?
We do it on a league basis, and you have your semi-finals and final, and then championship is straight knockout. Right. So there's seven teams. You've got Padraig Pearce's, ourselves. You've got Gary Owen, Wolf Tones, Sinn Féin, St. Kevin's and Geelong. Now, there is another GA team called Melbourne Shamrocks, but they only focus on hurling.
Okay.
Right. So the football would have the other teams in it. And you'd have a senior competition and an intermediate competition. The intermediate bore out of the fact that there were so many people traveling here before COVID. There was loads of players, loads of numbers. So the intermediate was created, and then COVID hit and a lot of people went home. So, but the intermediate is still going. It's still surviving this year, shall we say. And we're in the middle of the league as it is at the moment. And then the champion, we take a, I suppose the greatest thing about it is, and I hope this could be implemented at home in Ireland, is that you know in advance of when your fixtures are, and you know that weekend is free for you, or that weekend you've got a game that weekend, and whether it's an intermediate game or a senior game. And then your championship fixtures are fixed as well. So if a guy is here backpacking around and he's only here for 6 months, and you know he's a seriously good footballer or a seriously good hurler, you can say, here, can you commit here for 6 months and then go about your travels, because you'll be finished the first weekend in July. Yeah. And you know that for a fact, that it's going to be finished the first weekend in July. So it's a league basis for the league title, and then it's championship basis, knockout, straight knockout, the old style of the 80s and the 90s.
There you go.
Or even at the moment with the football, with the COVID, so at home, it's going to be knockout. So,
What would you compare the standard to now senior football in, or a hurling in Melbourne? What would you compare that standard to here in Tipperary?
I go with the football first, Michael. I was pleasantly surprised when I started with the Pearces that the standard was so high. You had boys that had left Ireland because of the recession and had stayed there for a good number of years until Ireland got back on its feet. Mm-hmm. And these boys had played inter-county football for Dublin, for Kerry, for Sligo. for Cork, for Tipperary. The standard was very, very high, and I was pleasantly surprised. And being an old fella at that time when I was playing, I got a run around it a few times by a few of them, and even Jamie Clark made an appearance from the Armagh footballer. Satento Halpine made an appearance. Isaki Halpine made an appearance. You know, so the standard was very, very, very good. It has dropped off a bit, which is obviously because of COVID, and but the standard is still really good. You know, it's not as probably at the heights that it was in the 2013 to 2016 and so on, but you know, the heights are still good, and the hurling would be the same. You have a lot of lads, Tipperary hurlers that are out here that have played intercounty for Tip, fellas that played intercounty for Cork, Kilkenny lads. You have a few boys up the north from Antrim that played intercounty hurling. So the Peter Duggan from Clare was out here playing hurling as well. So you have guys that are going traveling the world. Training isn't too taxing, and you're here to enjoy yourself. You get in with a team, you'll get a job. Hopefully someone will put you in with the right connections, and you know, you'll stay loyal to them. You'll turn up on a Sunday and play the games. But as I said already, the avid advantage is your fixtures are set in stone by Gaelic Games Victoria, by Liam and his great team there, Jack Anderson, a Doon man, and Claire Gallagher would be a sister of Rory Gallagher, mm-hmm. the intercounty manager. So three of them run a really good ship, and they tell you in advance of the game. So that's all boys want. Am I available that weekend? I am, or I am not. And an example of it, like if a guy came over, like say, for example, a very good friend of mine is Brian Lowry. When he arrived here, first of all, I took him down training, and I just said to one of the boys involved with the Pierces, I know he's involved in construction. I said, have you any work going? And he said, not at the moment. 10 hours later, Brian gets out of the bed in the morning in my house. He said, that guy's after ringing me. He said, fella never turned up for work this morning. Can you bring me into him? And I said, yeah, not a problem. And Brian is still working. You know, so it works that way. So, you know, and he got it through the club. So the club is all important. So, yeah, the standard is good, Michael. There's guys that come out here to go traveling for the year, the one year, and don't stand here. Some stay here and some move on. But I was up at a hurling match on Saturday night. Standard was really good. Wolfstones won 517 to 217 against the Melbourne Shamrocks. And then I was up yesterday at football, senior football match, and our Pierces won by a point 312 to 214 against the Wolfstones. So no, the standard is a good standard, and fellas seem to enjoy themselves. Fitness probably not the greatest, as you can imagine. Fellas like they're to enjoy the life out here as well. So we don't mind about that. It's just giving the games and getting the games going. I'm probably talking too much about that, but anyway.
So you spoke about, obviously back in, I suppose, from 2007, 2008, the downturn, you had plenty of people travelling because of the lack of opportunities here in Ireland. That has probably... We're on the way back up, and people aren't traveling as much out of necessity. You did say about people that are backpacking and so on, and you have them for the year and that. But is there much of a turnover in the GA out there? Is there a lot of guys that are just in and out for that 6 months, and you're constantly, you don't know from, I suppose, from this year to next year what kind of standard you are, or is there a cohort of people that are there consistently?
You would have a mixture of both. You'd have your cohort of a few guys that would be there a good number of years, like involved with the Pierces. You have Fergus Reen, a Kerry man, Kieran Clancy from Leitrim. You have Conor McShane from up in County Down up the north. You have a couple of lads like that would be there for the long haul. And then you have boys that are coming and going. You know, they're here for the year and they commit and for that 6 months period, and then they head off. So you do have, like, probably the greatest place, and it's a bit ironic, but the greatest place for recruitment is the pub. Mm-hmm. You know, you say to a fella on a Tuesday night or a Monday night, come down training on Thursday night and I'll give you a job and play for us on Sunday, you know, that kind of way. So you try to recruit every year as much as possible, give as much opportunity. But then you have some guys that are all Australian, but their parents are Irish. Now, we have a couple of those playing on the Pierce's squad. Michael Duffesy would be one of them, and Tom Keelty would be another lad. They're both Australian born and reared, but their parents are from Ireland. Mm-hmm. And they bring value to the club as well, because their parents want their kids to experience what it's like playing Gaelic games. So to answer your question, Michael, you do have a turnover every year. And we won the championship in 2018. And I'd say there's off that team, off the top of my head, I think there's about two involved four involved out of the 21, because you can only have a panel of 21.
Right.
So you need to name a panel of 21 for the championship and 24 for the league. And there's about four, I'd say, that are still involved since 2018.
So there's quite a big turnover. But I suppose you still, you mentioned, we'd say, especially with young Melbourne GA, here in Ireland, we have the problem of trying to keep guys interested at that 15, 16, 17 level. Mm. Same issues issues travel all around the world, I presume.
Yeah, same issues, Michael, because they don't have, with young Melbourne, when they're 15 or 16, they're not fully developed as physically to play senior football or senior hurling. So there's no minor age level or anything like that. We don't have anything like that. There used to be a minor state team, but there would just be a collection of boys that were playing AFL come together and play the minor championship in the state games. But we're trying to create that pathway for the 15, 16, 17-year-olds to play with the few old heads like me and Keith and Carol and that to play to graduate into a young Melbourne senior club. And if the word goes out there, this is a good game, like it's not during the AFL season, let's go play this and keep our fitness up, you'll get more Australians coming to play, you know. But the vision is always there, Michael, but whether you can execute the vision is the issue, you know. And I know what you're talking about from that age group of 15, 16 and 17 at home. It's a difficult period of a teenager's life, you know. So to try and keep them interested, you just try and offer the best quality of what you can, you know. So
We saw in New York last season, I think it was, where an all-American team, of 15 guys that were born in America, won the senior football championship. Is that is that something you would love to see happen in Melbourne?
That would be a goal. I'll give you an example. Geelong down the road now is about an hour and a half down the road that travel up for games. And great men down there, a fella called John Reaney, the heavily involved, a Dublin guy from Aaron's Isle. And he's got I'd say the majority of their team are now all Australian. They just got involved through word of mouth, came down, enjoyed the game. And they're doing great work. They've got the Geelong Grasshoppers as their juvenile section of the club. And they've also got a ladies team that participates in the sevens and the nines. And I refereed them in the sevens competition. And they're just all, every one of their team was Australian, the girls team, and they got to the semi-final of the sevens, you know. So yeah, you'd like to think that's the goal, but you hope as well that you get enough of volunteers to drive that as well, to be there to drive it on. And it's like at home as well, to get the people on the ground to be that volunteer body to drive that forward is the thing, you know. So that would be the ultimate goal and you know, ambition, but who knows.
Exactly. So just going back to yourself, obviously I mentioned at the top you were from Tipperary Town. What was your playing career with Arval Rovers like? Have you any standout memories?
Checkered, I suppose, Michael. I came to a game involved with the senior club when the senior club were in transition. It was coming to the end of our 1985 county women team, the last time we won the county senior football championship. And I got involved in 93-94. I was on the senior squad and lost a lot of West senior finals, got relegated from senior football in 2006. We won the county intermediate in 2007. Andy Lacey was our captain, got back up senior football, which was hard to do at the time when you know as well, with Kappa White being relegated from senior hurling, how difficult it can be to bridge that gap. And we bridged it in a year and we've managed to keep up at senior football. But I suppose my best memory was winning the West senior title in 2011. Because that's all I have is one West senior medal, and they're hard to come by. And we haven't won a county, and we did have a golden age of juvenile players. Like if I go back to 2002, we won county A football under 12, under 14, under 16, minor A championships, and then won with the bulk of those kids won the county under 21 A football championship in 2011, but we couldn't seem to bridge the gap with the county senior. We got to a few semi-finals, but we just didn't get over the hurdle, and we're probably jealous of our neighbours out the road in Banshee and up in Aherlow and down the road in Care, winning one title and two titles in the early noughties. But yeah, my career was checkered, and in the hurling then I wouldn't say I was a standout. I played it, you know, for the love of the club and the whole lot. But yeah, I went through a transition period of, but I enjoyed more coaching and training with the juveniles, you know, because that's what I've always, being a school teacher, I was always training teams. So yeah, and the likes of seeing those boys grow and develop, and the girls when they became involved as well, you know, so it was important to see. But no, my career was checkered, shall we say. Michael, not much success at senior level, but juvenile level, yeah, there was good success. We had good teams at juvenile. But just as you said, Michael, we couldn't seem to keep them, the 17, 18-year-olds after that age group, going away to college, things like that, work and travel. We lost a couple of lads, and that really affects the team, as you know. So, you know.
So my next question, you probably answered it, and we probably can all get the answer from your passion for GAA in Melbourne. But does being away from home, but being involved in the GAA, make you feel closer to home? Is that 100%.
Yeah, because I love going up like I did on at home. Love going on a Sunday or a Saturday, because we floodlights where we play, so I can go up on a Saturday night and I take up my kids and we watch the games, and it's just that connection, and it reminds you of home. You don't lose that connection, you know. It's an intrinsic thing, and you just like to have it and to keep it. And I think I'm passing it down to my children as well. And hopefully they'll bring, touch wood, if they have kids, they'll bring their my grandchildren or their children, you know, and even bring their friends, you know. So I do enjoy it and keeps the connection.
Yeah. So with young Melbourne GAA, do you see that the expats bring their children to train and for that feeling of being Irish? I presume that's the same, all plays into the same.
Yeah, I would imagine so, yeah. I've never actually asked them, but I would say so. But to see young four-year-olds with hurleys in their hand reminds you of what you did yourself in your own club, or to see a four-year-old kick a goal. And another thing about the Irish community, Michael, as well, that we have so many AFL players and AFLW players, the Irish people I'm talking about, they give back to us as well, like Mark Keane. Mark Keane, that scored the winner for Cork against Kerry in the Munster Championship last November, came down and did a training session with the kids at Young Melbourne. Aileen Gilroy, that plays for Mayo Senior Ladies, and she also plays for North Melbourne Kangaroos out here in the AFLW. She came down for a training session. And Keane McBride, who's a Meath county player, plays for Essendon. He came down and gave us a session as well. So I tried to get Zach Toohey and Mark O'Connor, but they're a bit down the road in Geelong, you know. Maybe that might be in the future, they might turn up and the whole lot. But you know, the Irish community come together, parents want to come and see it, and not just Irish parents, there's Australian parents that come that have some sort of an Irish connection. Their friend might be Irish, or they might have Irish ancestry. You just don't know who turns up on the day, but everyone is welcome, you know. So
you mentioned social media, and you have a good social media team down there, but From looking at like Instagram and that, there seems to be a very social side to your game down there. Is that something that we should look to develop back here to keep people involved? Do you think, is that something that you strive for?
The Pierces, I can only speak from the Pierces and from Young Melbourne, as you can gather, but all the clubs seem to have a good social side. So we like to organise events where people can get involved, and you know, it mightn't just be just going to the pub, because that's a standard Irish thing that they do. But like the Pierces, a couple of years ago, we organised go-karting for all the men's and ladies squads, the football squads. I went off go-karting, the club paid for it. You didn't have to put your hand in your pocket. And just bonded the team together. The Young Melbourne side, we have a weekly barbecue. So the kids come and they train, and then after training, they have their sausage, or they have their burger or whatever they have, and then the parents mix and mingle and get to know one another. So, and then you have, or you organize social events for the adults to get out without the kids, if possible at times, to have that, you know, that social connection as well. So yeah, there is lots of social things that happen, and it's important. It's important that, you know, you get out there and you're proud of where you come from, but you're also getting to know new people as well, because sometimes it can be hard being 17,000 kilometers from home. You like to make a connection with people and so on. So, you know.
And is there a cultural side to the GAA in Melbourne and your own club, Padraig Pierce's, would say, obviously we have score here, but like the Irish dance and Irish music, is that something that's important
in the
community?
Yeah. The Pierce's themselves, like obviously named after Padraig Pierce's, you can imagine the 1916. Mm-hmm. Revolutionary and so on, there would be people in involved in the club that would be traditional music players, and they'd have a session. There's a group called Alma Road that are all just Padraig Pearse's players, mm-hmm. you know, boys, and the girls are involved. We had you have Irish dancing groups out here as well, you know, and you've Ceoltis, Mary Ann, that's on our committee, very involved with Ceoltis, and you know, you have that Irish culture. Just as it's all back to, again, Michael, you know, Ireland's a great place, and you want to keep that connection to home, and you want to keep that tangible connection, as I'm saying, you know, whatever you do out here, it brings back to your roots, or brings you back to your parents' roots, or whatever it might be, you know. So yeah, definitely there is a good cultural side to it.
Good, good. So I suppose just from the Australian point of view, then you mentioned Powerhouse, and there was a bit of success with Powerhouse, I suppose, going back in the early 2000s. I think you were part of that team, and James was as well. But did you play Aussie Rules. Was there much of a difference between
My career now with Aussie Rules, Michael, was very short-lived. I realised how quick you had to be getting rid of that ball before you get absolutely pulverised, you know, because the tackle is different in that situation. But yeah, there is a major difference as regards tackling is something that you, if you're not born, like, as I gave an example to my kids in my classroom over here, when I showed them hurling on YouTube, or we do a replay of Kilkenny and Tip in the 2010 All-Ireland or something like that, because I had nothing else to do in the classroom that day or something, they're amazed that, like, they're not getting hurt. And I said, but if you grow up with the sport, you know how to mind yourself, you know how to take care of yourself, you're not going to get badly injured if you grew up with it and you knew what you knew how to avoid that hit of the hurl or something like that. And same with AFL. If you didn't grow up learning how to tackle properly, you're going to get hurt, because you think you have time on the ball, but you don't, because you can be hit and you can suffer the consequences later. So my career was short-lived. I realized that I was no good at this game, because I was old and I was just giving it a go for the fun of it and enjoyment of it. But yeah, definitely AFL is a sport that I can see it's a really enjoyed by a lot of people to see it here as their number one sport, and they love it, and I can see the reasons why, and they get around it, they have a culture themselves, and yeah. You know, we have, my son has started AFL, as I said, yesterday, because last year of COVID he didn't get to play, but yesterday was his first game, and to see that connection with the club, that's what we're trying to create with the Irish community over here with the Irish GA games as well, and I think we're going on the right track, you know, where we've developed it.
So just something interesting you mentioned there now. Obviously, you've played Gaelic football, and you've played a bit of Aussie rules, and you mentioned the tackle, and just and you coach obviously as well at GA and Gaelic football. So the big thing here in the GA is the tackle, or the definition of the tackle. The Aussie rules tackle is very defined. It is what it is. You can grab around the waist and pull down or whatever. Does the GA or need a defined tackle? Is that something that you would find hard from a coaching point of view, would say?
It's a good question, Michael. It's a hard one to answer. The definition of the tackle, in my opinion, at home in Ireland, is shoulder to shoulder, man to man, going for the ball, challenge properly for the ball. But then you can do different ways that you can learn how to tackle yourself without going shoulder to shoulder. Is that legal or is that not legal? It's a hard one to say. Whereas you have a clearly defined in AFL, you can go from the shoulders down to as far as the waist. You know, they can drag a guy down, pin his arms. He can't get rid of the ball. It's, you know, it's a free, it's a turnover of ball. I'm not going to solve the situation of the tackle in Ireland, but I like the old style definition, man on man or woman on woman, shoulder to shoulder, battling for the ball. I can see why Sean Kevin a couple of years ago dragged a man down, cynical tackle, but what was the retribution for it?
Yeah.
Nothing really, you know what I mean? So I can't answer that one, Michael. I'd have to go on the GA committee at home to sort that one, but there's probably better fellas that could answer that one. But yeah, it's a tough one.
Just on the AFL side of things, so obviously over the weekend we had a great Tipperary success, I suppose, when Orla Dwyer lifted the AFLW. Are those players, are they, what's the impact of those players on your community out there? You mentioned you had Mark Keane and Aileen Gilroy down with you. Orla then obviously being a Tip woman, Aisling McCarthy is out there as well. But Orla Dwyer winning and we had Ty Kennelly previously, but Orla winning now must be a huge boost, I suppose, for young girls in your club, but just in general, I suppose, for the community.
Yeah, it I suppose it's like when you get an access to an inter-county Tipperary hurler or an inter-county Tipperary footballer, like say, for example, Conor Sweeney that teaches in the Abbey in Tip Town. If they're readily available to come and help, it just generates such an interest, not just among Irish people, but people of Australian, you know, of background, because here's Mark Keane, who plays for Collingwood, or here's Keane McBride, who's playing for Essendon, or Aileen Gilroy, who's playing for North Melbourne. And I actually had Sarah Rowe and Ashton Sheridan that both played for Collingwood. Yeah. But they were away that weekend. They were playing in Adelaide in the preliminary final. Or sorry, last round of the league, should I say, not the preliminary final, last round of the AFLW. So they were willing to come down as well. It generates interest because you can see, here's these guys that are playing AFL, but they've transferred their skills that they learned from Gaelic football and hurling over to the AFL, and they get involved with local GA clubs around here. Aileen's sister, Aileen Gilroy's sister, plays for Padraig Pearse's, and Aileen's sister, Emma, her boyfriend, James, is in goals for our senior football team. So they're all connected, interconnected. So yesterday, my son, when we were up watching the Pearse's playing, saw Aileen Gilroy over in the corner and said, oh, this is the AFLW star. Now, if I could get Orla the Wire down from Brisbane, which is a 3-hour flight, I would take it, or Ashley McCarthy. But you try and get as many people as you can. And those people do turn up to the sevens, like Mark O'Connor, Stephen, I can't pronounce his second name, but he's on the Geelong list as well. Ockenburg, he's from Kerry. And they were up at the sevens. Zach Toohey was up at the sevens a few years ago. I'm sure James Madden, who's up in Brisbane Lions, he's involved with GA up there in some capacity. And the new guy from Dingle that's gone up to Brisbane Lions, Davides, the Lithuanian guy, Davides Uzidis or something, he's probably involved in GA in some way like that. So it does create interest. And to see, I suppose we got lucky. Mark Keane was so hot and so popular at the time down in Kerry, putting Kerry to the sword, that like it hit the radio stations over here, because I had guys that I work with that are just Australian saying, hey, who's this Mark Keane guy? He seems, you know, it's on the radio stations over here. He's after creating a bit of history back home, and Mark Keane readily available. I ring him, hey, Mark, any chance of coming down, you know, and training the kids? Yeah, no problem for me. Yeah, I'll help out the Irish community. So it definitely creates interest amongst the Australians and definitely amongst the Irish, if you're into your GA, Michael, I suppose. But if you're not, social media is a great thing to promote, you know, that kind of way. So
that's great. Look, just before we finish up, I just have a couple of quick questions. There'll be one word answers. The hottest temperature you've ever had to play a game in?
We have what they call extreme heat policy. If it goes over 36 degrees, you don't play. But at training, the hottest training temperature I ever trained in was 42 degrees. Okay. So it was nice.
Yeah, sure is. What's the longest distance you've had to travel to play a game?
Longest distance is probably Geelong, an hour and a half. But training takes me an hour and 10 minutes to get to training. That's one way. So 2 hours, 20 round trip. So yeah, it's a bit of traveling involved. And my wife thinks I'm crazy. But as I tell her, it's what I've grown up with, you know. So.
I hope she's not in the background listening to the answers.
No, she's not. No. She fully supports it.
Tip Town or Melbourne?
No comment.
All Ireland hurling winners 2021.
Oof. Lord Michael. My heart says Tipperary, being a Tipperary man and with my Tipperary top on me and the whole lot. It's hard to look beyond Limerick. I'm gonna be honest, it's very hard to look along beyond Limerick. They have that group of generational players that come along once in a generation and they're doing the right things, and you know, John Kiley's a shrewd operator, so it's hard to look beyond Limerick. As much as it galls me to say it, sorry being on the Limerick border there, Michael, you are. You know?
Don't be sorry at all.
But I'd have to say Limerick, yeah.
Same question for the football.
I'm one of my best friends is a Kerry man, and I said Kerry would win the All-Ireland last year, and I was wrong about that, and I'd hope that Kerry would do it, but Dublin, I think, again.
Yeah.
And as much as boring it'll be.
Yeah. AFL winners.
Well, my son is a massive Geelong supporter after Zach Toohey, so we'll go with Geelong.
You mentioned earlier on that you taught in Turles for 10 or 11 years. You had a student, I don't know if you remember him, he's involved in the podcast, his name is Sean Smith, but he... he claims to be a better hurler at that age than Paddy Maher. Can you confirm or deny?
Is Sean involved with this, is he?
He is indeed.
Oh, what I'd have to say about Sean is that Sean is a gentleman, but I can't put him in the same category as Paddy Maher. No, Sean, I know Sean, I know Kevin, I know John, I know all the Smiths. Brilliant, brilliant people, Kay and the whole lot, brilliant people. And unfortunately, Sean, no, Paddy was a bit better than you. let's put it that way.
And we'll leave it at that. Fergal O'Reilly, Tipperary Town, Arval Rovers and Melbourne GA, thanks very much for coming on the Premier Group podcast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.